is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you another beautiful song today and wind down this week's installments in our series of messages on Bible doctrine as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green, continuing with our subtopic, the doctrine of salvation. Now, Dr. Green looks at a lot of scripture today, so I urge you to get your Bibles out if you can so that you can follow along. But just before that, we're going to hear a beautiful song, He Is So Precious to Me. I hope He is precious to you as your Lord and Savior. Enjoy the music and then Dr. Green.
Precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For He is so precious to me. I stand on the mountain of blessing at last. No cloud in the heavens, a shadow to cast. His smile is upon me, the valley is past. For He is so precious to me. Appointed a place where someday through faith in His wonderful grace I know I shall see Him, shall look on His face. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For He is so precious to me.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Father, in Jesus' name, as we study today, honor Thy precious, powerful Word that is the light, the lamp, the bread, the water, the power, the incorruptible seed. Honor Thy precious word. For Jesus' sake, save the soul that's nearest hell. Amen. On the last broadcast in the doctrine series, we read in John's Gospel where Jesus said to the Pharisees and the people to whom he came, his own people, he said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, they're dead. He said, I am the bread from heaven. And they could not accept it. They turned and they went away. Then Jesus said, will you also go away? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Just a moment previously, Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and life. So Peter confessed what he heard. That is, he heard the words. Jesus said, just a few minutes before Peter made his statement, Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and life. And then Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Now, today I'm going to read just one verse. And we read this verse again. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. John 7:46. The Gospel of John is the salvation book, and that's the reason I'm using so many passages, and we'll use two or three more before we finish the doctrine series concerning salvation. But the reason I'm using this, John 20:30-31 tells us that the book of John, the Gospel of John, is ours that we believe, and believing have life through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way to have life. Now, let me show you something that is wonderful to me. And if you're a child of God, it'll be wonderful to you. But if you're not a child of God, I pray that you'll be saved today. The officers went to arrest Jesus. He was speaking. He was giving the great discourse on the coming of the Holy Spirit, and they listened. And instead of arresting Jesus, his words arrested them. They didn't say, we never saw a man like this. They said, we never heard words like he uttered. Now, let me show you. In the beginning, God created the heaven, all he did. In other words, he created the heaven out of nothing. Nothing. God uses that which is not to bring to naught that which is. Now, God doesn't need anything to make something. God simply utters the word. He uttered the word and the world was. In the beginning, God created the heaven, the earth. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Now, God spoke and the world was. But let me show you something. One of these days, and I'm going to talk about some other things between, but I think it's fitting that I show you this now. Back yonder, I don't know when. It doesn't matter when. God created Adam about 6,000 years ago. God created Adam about 6,000 years ago. But when God created this universe, no man knows. You can say, if you want to, all the billions and billions and billions of years, because God did create this earth in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So that doesn't mean that God created the earth when he created Adam. God brought order out of chaos. The earth was already, but it was without form and void and dark. So God brought order out of chaos, and then God created man. And that happened about 6,000 years ago, somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000. But God could have made the earth 100 trillion. I don't know how to say. There's no way to say it. There's no way. Billions. You see, archaeologists and scientists and others say the Bible account of creation is not true because they have proven that they have found rocks and fossils and so forth that are millions of years old. That doesn't make any difference. That doesn't hurt the Bible one bit. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning. It doesn't say in the beginning, God created Adam. It says in the beginning, God created the earth, the heaven, the earth. Now, we read that God made the earth. That is, he created the earth. Now, one of these days, the same God will speak and melt this earth. Now, you say, I don't believe that. That's your privilege. That's your privilege. God didn't call me to make you or force you to believe anything. God called me to preach the gospel. God said to me, preach the word. And that's what I'm doing. I'm preaching the word. So one of these days, God will speak. Listen, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. God uttered his voice. The earth melted. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. God uttered his voice and the earth melted. Now, that's in Psalm 46 and verse 6. Now, the word of God says he, and of course he is God, because in the first verse, God is our refuge and our strength. The heathen raged, the king moved. He, that is God, he uttered his voice and the earth melted. Now, the thing that I want to get across to you, if I can, then this broadcast will be time well spent if I can get this across to you. There is no way for man to ever even touch the hem of the garment when it comes to knowing or thinking or even to imagine the power of the Word of God. Now, if God spoke and the world was, if God will speak and this earth will melt, then don't you think the same God is capable of speaking to you in words that will transform your life and save your soul and put within you divine nature? You see, the Word of God abides. That's what the Pharisees objected to most. That is, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, he didn't mean literally open his veins and drink his blood and take a knife and carve his flesh from his body, bones, and eat. He was talking about, he said, I am the living word. I am the word incarnate. The word I speak, the words I speak. If you listen to the words I'm speaking, the words that I speak to you are spirit, they are life. You hear my words, you hear my words in your heart, and you will have life. The Word of God is the incorruptible seed that brings eternal life. But you can't get people to believe that. They want to do something, be something, live something, give up something, take on something. Some of you precious people worry yourself half sick because some minister or some Sunday school teacher makes a statement about some little something, the way you dress or the way you act, in other words, that you don't do exactly according to their rules and regulations, and they consign you to hell, and you become disturbed. Listen, who are you serving, God or man? Who are you serving, God or man? When you possess the Holy Spirit, the divine nature of God, and you do possess divine nature in the person of the Holy Spirit when you're born again, remember, he leadeth for the namesake of God. Now you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. Then let me tell you what to do. You please God and let the heathen rage. Let people talk. It doesn't make any difference. What do you say, Brother Green? I might hinder someone. The crowd that will condemn you and run you down and say you're a hypocrite and they're as good as you are, they don't want to be saved. They're not interested in salvation, and you're not going to hinder them. The devil is trying to hinder you through them. And people who are continually disturbed about things instead of walking by faith, they cannot be an effective soul winner. Now, if you're born again, the Spirit will lead you, and you're not going to bars and gambling dens and dives of iniquity and dope and ungodliness. You won't go there because the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you there. And people who frequent these places are of the flesh, and the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, and they've never been born again. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit leads you into paths of righteousness. God spoke, the world was. God will speak, the world will melt. Now then, we read over in the Gospels, Jesus was teaching and preaching, and he entered into the ship, and they brought a man, he came over to his own city, and they brought a man, and they was sick of the palsy, and he was on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick man, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And they said, "He is blaspheming." Why, he's just committed blasphemy. Why, who can forgive sins but God? Now, Luke gives us the account. If you'll read it, I'm reading in Matthew, but if you'll read in Luke 5:18 through 26, they ask the question, "Who can forgive sins but God?" And then Jesus said, "That you may know that I have the power to forgive sins," he said to the sick of the palsy, "Take up thy bed and walk." And he did. Now, Jesus spoke the word, and the man was saved and physically delivered, and he picked up his bed and walked. Now, listen very carefully. Jesus never healed anyone physically simply for the glory of healing that person or working a miracle or making life more comfortable for the one healed. Always, Jesus taught a much deeper lesson in his physical healing. He pointed them to spiritual healing or the salvation of the soul. Now, God is able to heal, but God never does anything except it redound to the glory of God. God saves us for Jesus' sake. God saves us for Jesus' sake. God leads us for his name's sake. God seals us until the day of redemption that we may bring glory and honor to his name. Remember that everything God has done, is doing, or ever will do, in one great day will bring glory and honor to God's name. And he's worthy. He's worthy because he is the creator of all things and the giver of every good and every perfect gift. Now Jesus said to this person, "Thy sins," the man sick of the palsy, Matthew 9 and verse 2, "thy sins be forgiven thee." And they said he is a blasphemer. He is guilty of blasphemy. No one can forgive sins but God. But Jesus said, "That you may know that I have the power," he said to the sick man, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Now, he said, which is easier to say? Which is easier? So he said, "I do have the power." And he spoke the words, and his sins were forgiven. Now, beloved, the word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Grace saves us. The word brings grace. Now, wait. We are saved by grace through faith. But how do we get faith? The word. The word. "He that heareth my word believeth on him that sent me." Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you'll never exercise faith in God until you hear the word of God. And when you hear the word of God and hear it in your heart, you'll hear him say to you, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And you'll go home justified, just like the publican who smote upon his breast and said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." He confessed that God is a God of mercy. He confessed that he was a poor lost sinner, and he asked God to have mercy on him, and God did. See, the only place he could have learned, the only place that he could have learned that God is a merciful God is by hearing the word. Now, in Revelation 19, remember now, I said he spoke the word, and the man's sins were forgiven, and his physical body was delivered from the torment of palsy. Now the same Jesus will speak again one day, and a river of blood, 6 feet deep and 200 miles long and about 10 miles wide, That's a lot of blood. The Valley of Megiddo, the valley outside of Jerusalem, 10 miles wide. I've been through it. I rode through it in an automobile 3-4 times, and it's about 10 miles wide, 200 miles long. And the Bible very clearly tells us that the blood will run to the horses' bridles. Now, one day, this same Jesus who said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," this same Jesus will speak again, and blood will run to the horses' bridles. We read in Revelation 19, 11, heaven is opened, and one rides out on a white horse, and that's Jesus. His eyes flame fire and so on, clothed with vesture dipped in blood. His name's the Word of God. Notice now, that is verse 13. He was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, we know that's Jesus. We know that. And so we read, armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And then out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Now, what do you think that means? Paul tells us in Hebrews, the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is quick. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so a sharp sword proceeds out of his mouth, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So one day Jesus will speak again, and men will die by the millions. Blood will run 6 feet deep in the valley of Armageddon. I'm talking about the word, never man spake like this man. Now, if you want Bible doctrine concerning salvation, the word, the living word, the incorruptible seed, the word of God, is the source of salvation. The word tells us about God's love. The word tells us about the crucifixion of Jesus. The word tells us about his resurrection. And the word tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Kind Heavenly Father, may poor, lost, deeved church members be born again now. Save our Father, many who have religion, they have united with the church, but they've never been washed in the blood. Save them for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green again. I hope that you learned something new today and were blessed as you listened to today's message by Dr. Green. Well, the teaching is over for today, but I still have a few moments left, and I want to share that with you with the offer that we are winding down, our gift offer S, put together for Mother's Day, which, of course, just a little bit ago. Now, a gift offer S contains a soul-winning booklet written by my mother, really our most popular soul-winning booklet. Also contains two books and a DVD set containing the movies of a missionary trip made by my parents to the Holy Land. And all of this is available to you if you ask for Gift Offer S and send the donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $15 or more. Please send more if you can. And I know that several of you like to order several sets of these offers to share with others, and you may certainly do that. Just tell me how many sets of Offer S that you want, and please send the donation of at least $15 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you a copy of our soul-winning booklet, What Does It Mean to Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, my dad designed these booklets to be small, fitting in your purse or pocket, and easy to hand out to others. This was the very first soul-winning booklet, and as I said, it was written by my mother, and it has been the most asked for booklet that we have in the Soul Winning Booklet series. In your package, I'll tell you how to order several of these so that you can send them out to others. Then we have Heavenly Pearls of Truth from God's Word, a book by my mother containing 12 messages, a perfect bound book, 141 pages long. These 12 articles were originally published in the old Gospel Hour News newspaper. Then we have a small book by Billy Sunday, Mother's Sermon, 31 pages long. And finally, The Missionary Journey to the Holy Land. My dad always had a special place in his heart for missionaries, and he took several mission trips, and he would make movies where he traveled and then show them in the big green tent. Every penny raised went to the missionaries where he traveled. Now, this one is 2 DVDs, and I know you'll be blessed as you watch this. So, to get all of this great material, just ask for Offer S and send your gift of at least $15. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.